In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
And we
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me.
Ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
Thank you.
Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, all that Solomon had planned to do in the house of the Lord, and in his own house he successfully accomplished. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers that is made in this house. For now I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there for all time. And as for you, if you walk before me, as David your father walked, doing according to all that I have commanded you, and keeping my statutes and my ordinances, then I will establish your royal throne, as I covenanted with David your father, saying, There shall not fail you a man to Israel. But if you turn aside and forsake my statutes and my commandments which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will pluck you up from the land which I have given you. And this house which I have consecrated for my name I will cast out of my sight, and will make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And at this house which is exalted, everyone passing by will be astonished and say, Why has the Lord done thus to this land and to this house? Then they will say, Because they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshiped them and served them. Therefore he has brought all this evil upon them.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Also he said, Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without price from the fountain of the water of life. He who conquers shall have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light shall the nations walk, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. And its gates shall never be shut by day, and there shall be no night there. They shall bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations.
Thank you.
Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace by your faith in him, until by the power of the Holy Spirit you overflow with hope.
Refused and said, no, you're coming to do God's work. We will not accept your money. The way is wide open in the Togo Republic. We have a couple now studying French in France, and early next summer, Mr. and Mrs. John Mills, we trust, will arrive in Abidjan, and we anticipate for them the same type of welcome as in the new and booming Ivory Coast Republic, where French is the language of business and trade and education. We come in to begin a work in one of the most prosperous and yet one of the most spiritually backward and destitute of the new free nations of Africa. It is our confident belief that in a half a dozen other former French colonies where we would have knocked in vain 10 years ago, today the doors will swing open. As soon as we have the prepared personnel with the knowledge of the French language ready to come in and share the gospel and all of its meaning and power with the people of these new nations. It is my confident belief that the winds of change that have brought about political revolution are turning out rather to the furtherance of the gospel than to the closing of the doors of opportunity. Not only political change, but social change is sweeping across Africa. I wish I could describe what's happening to you. You actually have to go out there and see it. And the best way, of course, is to go and stay away about a year or two and go back again and then see the tremendous change beyond description that is taking place in Africa today. Friend, if you're thinking of Africa in terms of the mission study books you have read and the biographies, the life of David Livingstone, Bowen, Moffat, and others, you're thinking of an Africa that can still be found if one seeks it, but it is not the Africa, by and large, with which we're dealing today. Social change, progress, development, so rapid that it is almost dizzying to keep up with it. Just let me give you some phrases that I think describe modern Africa. You can still find the old Africa. Please don't let me give a wrong conception. You can go back in the bush and still find something just as backward as that which David Livingstone dealt with. But by and large, the new Africa that is emerging and with which we have to do today is an Africa on wheels. And I'll tell you, when over a vast network of highways, many of them paved, you cut loose a great flood of automobiles and trucks and vehicles of all sorts and put behind the wheel an African who a few years ago was in his native village, you've got something. I'll tell you, we have sent out a directive,
I'll almost use that stronger term,
that every mission car in Africa be equipped with seat belts. There's a reason for that. Our great danger today is not wild animals or even hostile tribes. It's the traffic. I mean that more than half seriously. Africa is on wheels. And you just don't know Africa unless you have come to realize it. The traffic jam in the heart of Lagos at 4 p.m. is absolutely hopeless. If you've got to catch a plane out yonder about 10 miles from town, you can't leave at 2 o'clock and think you'll be out there for that 4 o'clock departure. You better make your plans differently, brother. You'll not get there. High-rise apartments, air-conditioned department stores, lovely homes in which Africans live, and sometimes drive around in their big cars with uniformed chauffeurs. Not just the white folks now that have the big cars and the big houses, by any means. There's a new Africa. It's an Africa on wheels, an Africa on the move. An Africa on the move in the sense of the movement of population out from the little rural villages where typically 40 years ago 98% of the Africans could be found out in the little rural villages. But they're moving in to the great industrial centers, the growing cities. Such movement of population has rarely been seen. And the emerging cities of Africa are something with which to deal. Africa is an Africa that's going to school. A new interest in education which can only be called a craze for learning. New schools being built more rapidly than government budgets can afford. And the younger generation of Africa absolutely determined at any cost whatsoever to get an education. As over against the stolid resistance that our missionaries and school work encountered for so many years up until a few years ago. Africa of today is on wheels. It's on the move. It's going to school. It's a new Africa. And if you're picturing the work of the missionary as one with a pith helmet going way into some dense jungle and hacking his way through the underbrush and finally coming to a little village of a dozen mud huts and there standing under a tree and preaching to a group of naked barefoot Africans, you just don't know what the work of missions in Africa is today. I tell you, young man, it'll take the best you can give to it, I promise you, to match wits with a keen-minded young African, well-dressed and well-shod, in a secondary school or college. He has questions in his mind. In his mind, he has a responsiveness in his heart. But you can't deal with him as you did the illiterate African of a generation ago. Social change, with new problems of sophistication, of secularism, of materialism, but with new opportunities. And I dare to say that it may well turn out that the things now happening in Africa, including this vast social change, may well turn out rather for the furtherance of the gospel, for look at it, what's happening. Well, in the first place, this movement of population has brought the people together. Whereas it used to be an all but impossible task to send missionaries out to little isolated spots where they'd settle down and work for a generation to learn the language and minister to a little handful of people in one tribal group. Now, do we dare say it? Our Lord has brought them together. And there they are, waiting for you, by the thousands. Go with me and stand on a big anthill in Kitwe, Zambia, right in the heart of the copper belt, where the second largest copper smelter in the world is located.
And this great anthill that almost filled this space up here, not quite that big, but they make them pretty big out there. We have ambitious ants in Africa. Crawl up on that anthill where you get a good view of the entire city. And I say to you, as you stand and look out in every direction, as far as the eye can see, row upon row upon row of little identical houses. Not mud huts, thank you. Concrete and steel buildings with tile roof for the most part. Small, compact, but neat and modern, and with electricity in almost every house. Row upon row upon row of dizzying aggregations of houses. And I can turn you loose to go knocking door after door after door. It'd take you probably 6 months to get around and knock on every door. From many different languages and tribes, from scores of little scattered villages, they've come together. And there they are. And in many of these new and booming communities, not a single church, we've had the privilege in case after case to plant the very first Christian church of any sort in a brand new housing development. And what with radio and the printed page and all the new developments and aids for spreading the gospel, I say to you, if ever there was an opportunity to evangelize the people of Africa, it is today. As a result of these social changes which have created a new attitude in the minds, especially of the younger generation. And by the way, you'll have a young church if you go to Africa. Probably 2/3 of them will be youth. And the future belongs to the educated youth of Africa. And they're open and they're responsive and they're seeking. And this ties right in with that third change, religious change. For the winds of change are bringing sweeping religious revolution such as has rarely been seen in the world's history. In that little African village out yonder in the bush, the big man was the witch doctor, oftentimes dominating even the local king, or sometimes combining in his own person both functions of ruler and witch doctor. Don't let this be overemphasized. You can still find witch doctors. I can take you and introduce you to a few. They're interesting characters, but I tell you, you have to hunt for them these days. The witch doctor is largely on the way out. You don't bump into him on the crowded streets or in that department store where you can buy everything that Sears and Roebuck has to offer here. The witch doctor, for the most part, is on the way out. He's not giving up without a struggle, and he'll put his appearance in a modern form from time to time, but for the most part, the witch doctor has had his day. He simply does not fit the modern scene. And the Africans who have left their little native village and moved into the great city left behind their religion. The witch doctor and all the taboos and local practices, which means there is an unrestrained moral situation in these cities also, and there's a great problem here, but also it means there is a religious battle. I tell you, you can almost see it happening. You can see the old tribal religions, these primitive tribal religions that have held in their grip and fear and domination the African people for generations. You can see them disintegrating, like taking a thread from a sweater and unraveling it. You can see it happening almost before your eyes. And a vast religious vacuum is being created in the souls of millions. They're going to make a change of religion in your lifetime and mine. Mark it well. By the hundreds of thousands, the non-committed pagans of today are going to make a change of religion in the next 20 years. And for the most part, it will be either to go down this way with the Muslim lay missionary to the mosque, or the prayer ground, and learn a few verses of the Quran, and pray five times a day facing toward Mecca to Allah, throwing away the idols, turning the back on the witch doctor, and repeating with his Muslim missionary the shortest creed
in world religions. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the prophet of Allah. And meaning when he says that, if he is instructed at all, Jesus was a great man and a prophet, yes, but Muhammad is a prophet since Jesus, and Jesus was not the Son of God. There is no God but Allah. Jesus is not God. God has no son. Only one God, Allah, and Muhammad, not Jesus, nor John the Baptist, nor Paul, but Muhammad is the prophet of Allah. And he's been inoculated against the gospel if the Muslim gets to him first and convinces his mind and wins his heart. But he's there trying, and in many areas, to every convert we win, there are two or three won to Islam. Thank God in other areas we have an advantage, and at least we stand on even ground in many places. And in this religious change that is to take place, he may go this way with the Muslim, but he may also go this way, especially if you and I are there to help and to persuade and to point him in the right way. Down this other road with a Bible under his arm and with the joy of the Lord in his heart. But he's going to make a change in your lifetime and mine. Wouldn't you like to have a part in determining the nature of that change? The winds of change are sweeping across Africa. Who knows but that? The things now happening in Africa may turn out rather to the furtherance of the gospel if we in our day and generation will make the response that God has a right to expect of us. You want a big job? I challenge you to go out and have a part in forming the life and shaping the destiny of a new free nation in Africa. In the midst of change, there is the possibility of change in the right direction. What would God have you to do to help determine the nature of that change? One of these challenging new nations of Africa. Let us stand for prayer. O God, our Father, we pray that thou wilt open our eyes that we might see what is happening in our world today. Open our ears that we might hear what thou art seeking to say to us as a group and individually concerning what thou wouldst have us to do. And open our hearts that we might respond to the leadership of our Lord by his Holy Spirit, and send us forth dedicated to the doing of thy holy will, through Jesus Christ our Lord.